exactly where we're at. So reprobate means abandoned to error. With moral perversion, verse 26 to verse 27, comes mental perversion. I don't know what the legal definition of insanity is, but here's a biblical definition of insanity. You're a sinner. You're going to die in your sins. You're going to go to hell. And you're going to burn for all eternity. But God sent His only Son to die on the cross for your sins. And if you'll give your heart and life to Him, He'll save you, He'll forgive you, and He'll take you to heaven when you die. Someone hears that offer and says, "No, I don't want it." That's insane. That's exactly what this is. A reprobate mind. Somebody understanding, "Oh, well, if I give my heart to God, He's going to ask me to do that." A reprobate mind. The light just doesn't come on. You know what? You say, what do you do in a case like that? You pray. You pray for that person. You pray for that individual. You be an example and a witness and a testimony to them. But you pray that God will turn the light on, because that's the only way that light's going to come on. And here's a society that has gone so far that they have now been given over to a reprobate mind. Look at verse 28. There are three parts to this verse. Three parts to this verse. Verse 28 says, they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. That's the reason for wickedness. The reason for immorality. The reason for ungodliness. The reason for unrighteousness. Why is it? Because they did not like to retain God. They know there's a God. They know there's a judgment to come. And so in their struggle and fight against that, they try to block God out from their mind. When you try to block God out of your mind and deny the real reality of God, you're going to get messed up in your head. If you can't handle that, you know, every child knows that there's a God and will have to be taught that there isn't if they're going to believe that. Because God has put in everybody that knowledge that He exists. So our educational system today is built around getting prayer out of school, getting the Bible out of school, getting God out of school, no mention of God, trying to dilute our society of anything spiritual. And we can give them math, and we can give them science with evolution thrown in, we can give them history and deny the godliness as the foundation of our nation, we can give them all that stuff with God left out. And what do you think the future is going to be? Where do you think we're going to head when we get there? And our society has been doing that now for 30, 40, 50 years. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. That's the reason for their wickedness, their anti-godliness. Then secondly, in this verse, because of that, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. That's God's response to their ungodliness. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge, so God gave them over to a reprobate mind. God did not just come down and arbitrarily give up on people. He did because they wanted to cast Him from their mind. Cast Him from their society, as Paul's talking about in Romans. Cast it from their nation. The country, the nation of Rome, was guilty of these things beyond belief. Far worse than our nation is right now, if you can understand that. The immorality of Rome was far past where America is right now. That gives us a little space yet. Not space for judgment, but space for repentance. And so God's response to their ungodliness was simply to give them over to a reprobate mind. Then it says, to do those things, in verse 28, to do those things which are not convenient. That's the result of their anti-godliness. And aren't we seeing that in our society today? People giving them things over to those things which are not convenient. And He's going to give us a list of 23 things in verse 29, 30, and 31. He's going to give us a list of 23 things that people are giving themselves over to today because they do not like to retain God in their knowledge, and God has given them up. And so they are, verse 29, filled with all unrighteousness. Look at the middle of that verse. Full of envy. You ought to underline or circle those two words. Filled, full. Our society is not just wicked, not just ungodly, but full of wickedness, full of ungodliness. because we did not like to retain God in our knowledge. I had a fella email me, it was a while ago. We were talking about how our government school system has abandoned God. I was at a meeting Friday morning. They were talking about when they took the picture of Jesus down, the John Glenn school system, where the ACLU came in and they had the deep pockets and they had the money. We're meeting with State Senator Troy Balderson, and they're talking about that battle and how forceful the anti-God crowd is today. And we have diluted God from our society, and now we're reaping the benefits of that, if you want to call it benefits. Someone said this: you can't hand out Bibles in the public school anymore, so now we hand them out in the prisons. And that's the truth and the reality of where our nation is. So there are 23 things that we've done that have caused God to give up. God gives up on those who give up on Him. You get that? God gives up on those that give up on Him. We are trying to fight the influence of those that have given up on God so that God will not give up on us. Someone says, well, you know, the Twin Towers on 9/11, was that God's judgment upon us? Did He bring that to pass? No, He didn't cause that to happen. He just didn't prevent it from happening. He lifted His hand long enough to allow it to happen. And it should be a wake-up call to us. Look back at Proverbs chapter 1. Here's some verses that'll shake your world. Proverbs chapter 1. Look what the Lord says here in Proverbs chapter 1, beginning in verse 24. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 24. The Lord says, because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. Here's what God says. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. It's exactly what Paul's talking about in Romans. You abandon God, God abandons you. Verse 27, when your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they that hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. That's Solomon giving us exactly the same thing, basically, that Paul does in Romans chapter 1, and saying that when we turn our backs on God and turn away from God, there's retribution. And that retribution comes in the essence of a reprobate mind. We fear Alzheimer's because we know, and those of you that have had loved ones that have gone through that, we know what it's like to lose your mind, to slowly lose your faculties and your capabilities. Well, I'm not at all suggesting that that's tied into this, but I'm saying when someone's given to a reprobate mind, that's what happens to them. Now, it's not diagnosed as a physical illness like Alzheimer's, which is a physical thing that happens, but this is a spiritual thing that happens, and it's almost the same thing. They can't think right. God gives them over to a reprobate mind to do those things that are not convenient. Not convenient means not proper, not fitting. All you got to do is pick up the newspaper and look at the atrocities that happen. You would think, you know, nothing can shock us anymore. We've seen everything. And then something happens that just shocks us to our senses. Why? Because we're watching a society that's turned away from God. And that's the result. Verse 29 then begins this list of 23 different things. And we won't spend a lot of time going through them. They're listed here. And these 23 specific things all fall into five different categories. All right, beginning in verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, deceit, debate, malignity, whispers. All these things fall into one of these five characters. Number one, ungodly in character. One of these five characteristics, ungodly in character. Let me say this. 12 of these following things come under the category of ungodly in character. All right, over half of them are a result of ungodly character. So let me say from the beginning, the first thing to fall is going to be your godly character. Folks many times say, well, you know, it's not that important to be in church all the time and to read my Bible all the time. Yes, it develops your character. It develops your godly character. And missing out and not going and making excuses for not going. Hey, it's simple, isn't it? When we say, well, I can't go because of this and I can't go because of that. Isn't that our character being revealed? And the problem with these people, they fall into all these things, is because they have a character issue. It's all about character. So 12 of these 23 things are ungodly in character. 5 of them are ungodly in conduct. And that's because our character dictates our conduct. So as we go through these lists, and you'll see the numbers in parentheses after the different words, you'll note that 5 of these things are a result of the result of ungodly character is ungodly conduct. Ungodly character, we can cover up. You know, the most amazing thing is that we think that no one can judge or see our spiritual condition. Folks, it's all as evident as it can be. It's all as plain as the nose on our face. Especially when you get in a group of people that have known each other for a long time, we know one another. We know if you're at a spiritual mountaintop, we know if you're halfway down, we know if you're down on the bottom. We can tell by your conduct, we can tell by your character. We know one another. It's just that simple. We say pray for one another. We give a prayer list. It's got everybody listed in the church. If you know those people on that name, you know what, you say, I don't know what to pray for them. Oh, yes, you do. Lord, haven't seen them for a while. You know right away what to pray for them. They're struggling in their Christian life. Our problems in character become our problems in conduct. Number 3, we become ungodly in conversation. Where 12 of these items are ungodly in character, 5 are ungodly in conduct, 3 are ungodly in conversation. Now, by conversation, I don't mean the old English manner of living. I mean conversation, the words that come out of your mouth. When you're walking away from God and getting away from God, it's going to show in your character, it's going to show in your conduct, it's going to show in your conversation. You know where it shows most of you? On Facebook. Because you start posting things with foul and dirty and ungodly language in it. Why? Because the sensors are missing. We're not picking up, oh, I didn't notice that. Well, how did you not notice it if everybody else that saw it after you posted it saw it? Our conversation becomes affected. So we go from our character to our conduct to our conversation. Then we get to our concepts. There's only 2 in the list that are about ungodly in concept. That is your thought process. You see the downhill slide? Ungodly in concepts, the thought process cannot think right anymore. And then lastly, ungodly in companionships. So we've got these 5 areas of these 23 things that are listed. Now we're just going to go through these 23 things and get each word and kind of define them for those that are not clear. And then notice after each word we've got in parentheses which category that one refers to. Number 1 is unrighteousness. The 1 shows us that comes under category number 1, ungodly in character. So in verse 29, he said, being filled, and again, this is now filled and full. You go simply from unrighteousness and wickedness to being full of unrighteousness and full of wickedness. Being filled with all unrighteousness. Unrighteousness is any and all evil doing or wrongdoing. Now we all our righteousness are as filthy rags. I understand that. We all are unrighteous to a certain degree, but this is being full of it. And this means all and any evil doing. And it consumes us. Proverbs 1, where we read about God giving up on them, Solomon's talking about the young man that contemplates during the day what evil he could do during the night. And that's the thought process of ungodliness and unrighteousness. Evil doing and wrongdoing. We need to resist that, Christian. We need to resist that, child of God, to the fullest of our ability. Secondly, he says, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication. Our society has gone so far downhill that we now have same-sex unions. We're fighting the battle of same-sex marriages. But can I tell you, that wasn't the beginning of the problem. The beginning of the problem was fornication. Fornication is sexual immorality, which includes premarital and extramarital sexual relationships. We have forsaken the sanctity of marriage, not when we legalize same-sex marriage, which we're against, obviously, but that wasn't where our society went downhill. It's when we forsook the institution of marriage, first of all. Well, let's just move in with each other. Let's just try it out and see how it works. Now our society doesn't blink at that. They don't think twice. Even the same folks that will say homosexuality is wrong will say, well, it's not wrong for two people that love each other, male and female, to live together outside of marriage. Yes, it is wrong. The Bible's always declared it to be wrong. God doesn't change His mind or His opinion because society, our culture, changes. And so here's people that were filled with unrighteousness, filled with fornication. That's the way our society is today. Wickedness, the third thing in the list. I didn't put a definition down on our notes because I figured wickedness is pretty plain. Isn't it a scary thing that today wicked means good? Somebody says, oh, that's wicked. And I don't know if that's still a phrase that's been a phrase in the past. But, oh, that's wicked. That means it's good. That's our society. It calls evil good and good evil. Oh, that's wicked. Well, wicked is not good. And it is an effect of being ungodly in character to be wicked. The third thing listed is covetousness. All these are in verse 29. Covetousness. Do we have a covetous society? What was the Powerball? 1.3 billion, million, I don't know, whatever it was, the Powerball. You see the one lady that went and took all of her money, welfare checks, everything, whatever. She was on government subsidy anyway. But she went and took everything and spent every dollar she had on the Powerball. When she lost, then she made a plea over social media for people to help her because now she's in debt. I would challenge you someday, if you don't, I go into Circle K here every once in a while, go into there and see the majority of the people that are buying the lottery tickets in there. They're the ones that are on limited income. They're the ones that also use food stamps or food cards as they are now. That's what is this? This is covetousness. And that's a sin that's predominant in our society. How about gotta have it? What iPhone's out now? I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 32, 33, 34. And you know, some of those electronic gadgets come out and gotta have it. Gotta have it. That's covetousness. Gotta have this, gotta have that, gotta have the latest, gotta have the newest, gotta have better. Paul said, I learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Now, he wasn't talking about the state of Ohio or the state of Michigan or the state of Pennsylvania. He was talking about what condition, what state I'm in this life, I am content. Having food and raiment, let us be content. Now, that doesn't mean it's bad to go buy something. But if it's a result of covetousness, then yes, it is. So that is another effect of society being full of covetousness. Number 5, maliciousness. Maliciousness. The bumper sticker. My kid beat up your honor roll student or whatever the thing is. Glorifying violence. Isn't it funny that a government right now that is so anti-gun and a Hollywood that follows the agenda of being anti-gun are the most gun-possessing people in the world? You can't watch a television show without somebody having a gun and shooting a gun or something. We just live in a violent, malicious world. Maliciousness means the desire to injure. The desire to injure, wanting to hurt somebody. Number six, full of envy. That kind of goes along with covetousness a little bit, doesn't it? Full of envy, not satisfied, always wishing they had more, wanting to have more, begging for more, asking for more, as that lady did after she spent all she had. Envy over position. Envy over someone's house, someone's vehicle, someone's family, someone's finances. Always wanting something, so you know, that covetousness, that full of envy. They're a two-headed dragon. Number seven, murder. Murder is getting more and more rampant. Imagine a society if things fall apart. I'm reading a book by Erwin Lutzer. It's called When God, I think the title is When God Gives Up on a Nation or something like that. It's not gives up, but when a nation forsakes God or something, I don't know what it is. He's going back to Nazi Germany and the rise of Hitler and the silencing of the churches. When Hitler came into power, he didn't come as a bad guy. He came as a good guy. They'd come out of World War I. The food lines were long. Their economy was shot because they had to pay back all the nations that they had lost to in World War I. Their economy was shot. Their bloodlines were long. After some time in government, he brought back German nationalism. He raised the spirits of people. He got rid of the breadlines. He got the economy going. Who wouldn't vote for a guy like that? And after he got into power and got a little more established, he got all the churches together, the state churches, the Lutheran church, got them together. He says, all right, now I want you to follow my agenda. I want you to pledge allegiance to me. Some of the churches even took down the picture of Jesus in the lobby of the church and put up a picture of Adolf Hitler. Now we think of that with, you know, looking back from where we're at, but at that point they were happy, they're excited. Their nation had pride again and they were somebody in the world. And he told all the churches, there were 2,000 pastors that would not bow, would not bend. I'm preaching on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego this morning, so it kind of ties together. But there were 2,000 preachers, including Dietrich Bonhoeffer, that would not submit to that, and many of them were put to death. They were murdered. They were killed because they would not follow the agenda of a wicked, ungodly nation. And when everything fell apart and the economy fell apart and everything went to pieces, then it's every man for himself. And the poor are trying to rob from the rich, and the rich are in their own little gated communities trying to protect themselves and the things they got, and schools are shut down and the banks are shut down and the economy goes to pot and there's nowhere, no grocery stores, nothing. Boy, what's going to happen when a world gets to a point like that? Being full of murder. Can we say this? Murder includes abortion. Life is life from conception. That's clear in the Bible. There's no mistaking that. When Mary, the mother of Jesus, went to see Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, Elizabeth was 6 months farther along in pregnancy than Mary was. And when Mary went to greet Elizabeth, Elizabeth said the baby in her womb leaped for joy when she heard the salutation, the greeting of Mary. That little thing, whatever you want to call it, in Elizabeth's womb, that unborn human life, heard the salutation of Mary. You know what they tell us? Fathers, talk to the baby that's in your wife's belly in her womb because they can hear that voice. Modern science even knows that, and yet they still deny that it's human. We know what's going on with Planned Parenthood in the past 6 months. And yet even with the push, and the state of Ohio has done a great job in the state capitol of denying government funds for Planned Parenthood in the state of Ohio. Nationally, we're not doing that. We're trying, but they're not doing it. And if you can't get it by what just happened, if you can't get it through your mind, you know, Planned Parenthood says the government has no right to interfere. The government has no right to step in, but we want government funding. And all of the things that they did and the atrocities they did that were recorded on video, and yet our society as a whole, or at least our leadership, says, no, we're not going to defund Planned Parenthood. That's murder. Being full of murder. Number eight, debate. Now, debate doesn't just mean two people presenting a side. It means contention, strife, discord. We have debate all the time. My wife and I have debate. Not contention, so I don't mean that, but what do we want to do with this? How do we want to do that? What's our plan for tomorrow? Who's going to do this? Who's going to do it? You have that debate all the time. That's not what this is. This debate is strife and contention. Again, envy has to get in, discord. And our society is full of that. People lose their tempers, lose their minds. You know what that is? It's a sign of ungodly in character. It all comes back to that. Deceit, number nine. Deceit, being crafty, misleading, manipulative. You know what my desire is personally? What you see is what you get. Transparency. You know, government officials always talk about transparency, and they're the least transparent people in the world. But you and I need to be transparent. You know what? If you are transparent, people don't know how to handle that. The world today doesn't know how to handle it. They always think you're up to something. Especially if you smile. You know, if you say something and you're smiling, they think, okay, they're up to something. They got some kind of plan going here. No, we're just being honest. No deceit. The Lord said about Nathanael, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Number 10, malignity. Wishing ill will upon others. You got an enemy? I shouldn't say that. You know who your enemy is? Wishing them ill will is malignity. Wishing something bad to happen to them. Number 11, whisperers. Again, in the parentheses, you see which things these come under. Whispers, the first one that comes under ungodly in conversation. And that's what whispers are. Secret talkers behind other people's backs, talking about people, assassinating their character, speaking ill of them, secret slanderers. Verse number 30, backbiters. This follows along the line of whisperers. Backbiters. After you whisper a little bit, then you put it into practice. This is open slandering. Talking about people not so much behind their back, but you want a good example of backbiters? Listen to Hillary Clinton talk about Bernie Sanders, or Bernie Sanders talk about Hillary Clinton. Listen to Trump talk about Cruz about Rubio. Take your pick. You know, it all started friendly for a while. Now March is coming around, the Iowa caucus, and now they're all after each other's throats. Typical politicians. Backbiters. Isn't that a shame when that happens in the church? You know how you build yourself up, most people? You build yourself up by tearing the other person down. You can spot people that are trying to build themselves up because they will criticize and tear down everybody else because they think that elevates them a little bit. And what they don't realize in the eyes of everybody that's watching, they didn't elevate themselves at all. They just put themselves down in the bottom rung. Backbiters. Verse 30, we'll have to stop here. Haters of God. Isn't that an interesting characteristic to fall in this? Haters of God. We'll find what they're lovers of here as we continue next week. But if you're a hater of God, you're going to be a lover of all kinds of different things, and it ain't going to be good. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, again, thank you for your word. We've only covered two or three verses this morning, and yet